C1P. Number 2A.
So we take the seven subjects under part one, always in view, what is the attitude of a practitioner? And in the tone of mind here, our epitome says, the true practitioner only knows perfection. He has the point of mind as knowing. What does he have to know? What is his mentality, mind? It's a mentality of perfection. And Mrs. Eddy depicts that mentality through the biblical story of Mary Magdalene and Jesus forgiving her. And it is a beautiful story to show what is the inner mental attitude of a true patient also, not only of a true practitioner. And that true mental attitude of a patient is symbolized through Mary Magdalene. What does Mrs. Eddy show here? What the Magdalene did? She came in to the house of the Pharisee, where she was actually not expected to come in, where she was expected to be debarred from such a place. But still, in spite that there was, so to say, a sign forbidden, she came in. The impulsion of mind was bigger than any human law. The divine drive of mind, the power of mind, the drive of mind was much bigger in her than to listen to any human rule and law. So at the point of mind, she acted so that she was following, so to say, a divine law, and actually was attracted by Jesus' mentality of forgiveness. So the Magdalene came in mind. What was her next movement? The Magdalene went straight to Jesus. She followed that line of spirit and approached Jesus straight away. Though she was debarred from such a place and such society. Can you see that she did not accept a false separation, but that she did everything to go the way in order to reach really the contact with the Savior. So she did choose the right and moves towards the right direction. Spirit always says, see that turning away from the wrong and turning to the right side. Then the next point was that the Magdalene reached Jesus' feet. So she could get into unity with Jesus. She touched the Christ idea. She identified herself with the Christ. Then, what did she do? She broke up the sealed jar. You know that breaking up in the Old Testament and in the Bible was always a sense of interpreting the principle of breaking up the principle and interpreting it, just as Moses did with the commandments, that he broke the tablets, he explained the principle. Here, the Magdalene broke up the sealed jar. The costly, the most costly thing she had, and could see that if she would understand the principle that Jesus was teaching, that she would get help. She perfumed Jesus' feet with the oil. Now we know that the feet, especially in those circumstances in the East, were always the dirtiest part of the human body, but she felt that even the dirtiest part of Jesus' body would be good enough for the most precious things she had to offer. And so she perfumed Jesus' feet with the most costly things she had. One could see that her whole hunger and thirst after righteousness, the fourth beatitude, was so strong in her that she felt, I want to give everything, even if I only can get the smallest part of the Savior, even the feet of Jesus. Then the Magdalene wiped Jesus' feet with her long hair. The hair of a woman at that time was her pride. It was the most beautiful thing that a woman could have, her hair. And she did take the most beautiful thing she possessed, the most valuable thing she possessed, put down her pride and took her hair and washed Jesus' feet, the dirtiest part. So you can see how she really laid down the pride of the woman. And then Jesus was recounting that story about the two debtors. And he said that if one forgives two debtors, which one of those will love you most? The answer, the one to whom you have forgiven most will love you most. And so he said at the end, thy sins are forgiven thee. I forgive you all your debts. Can you see the whole line that was at work here? Here was a mentality called Jesus, who had what kind of a mentality? Love and mind. The mentality of love, seeing only perfection, and therefore never acknowledging any debt, any sin. Therefore always being at the point where it says that love has only one mind, and that one mind can never see anything wrong, can never acknowledge anything wrong, that mind only knows ideas of perfection. Therefore, the human attitude of that was, therefore, I'm also going to accept only perfection. Therefore, thy sins are forgiven thee. That was Jesus' mentality, as at the point of mind. And we can see that that mentality, that mind, has actually the power of attracting the needing thought, the Magdalene. It attracted those who were looking out for a Savior. It didn't actually attract those Pharisees that were sitting around. It attracted that desire, that mind, as the Magdalene had, who must have said to herself, I don't care about all the laws of mortal mind. I don't care about all the human laws. What I want is that mind which Jesus had. I want to touch that mind that was in Jesus. And so she broke the human law and came in. She went straight towards Jesus. No roundabouts, no compromising, nothing. A straight line of spirit. She went right to him. She turned right away from the wrong, right to the right, in a beeline, so to say. Right to the Savior. She touched his feet and touched the Christ soul. She began to be identified with it and showed that she could do that by giving the most valuable things she possessed, the oil, and washed his feet, broke that jar, and said, I want to have that whole system that principle teaches, that whole science that principle teaches, that can be my help. And therefore I'm willing to lay down pride. She washed Jesus' feet with her hair, the most valuable thing that she had for a woman. And that evoked from Jesus, now you can see what it evoked from Jesus at the point of truth, the sense that this is a true mentality and therefore has no debt. In such a mentality, there is no debt. Such a mentality is free from all debts, free from being a sinner. And so Jesus, at the point of love, could say, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." He not even said, "I'm going to forgive you," because he couldn't forgive her. He said, "That mentality which you have, Mary Magdalene, that's a mentality wherein sin is forgiven. Thy sins are forgiven." So in this way we can see the great point which will tell us that we will always have people, patient, seeking our help if we have that mentality which Jesus had, and that it will always attract those that are really in earnest, and it will never attract those that are not in earnest. Only like attracts like. So Jesus' consciousness that had only a universe in which every sin was forgiven, a universe where he only could see the true idea, Jesus beheld in science the perfect man. Right there, where to mortal sense the imperfect man appeared, where mortals appeared. So here you have a wonderful symbol showing that if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That if we lift up our consciousness to the point where we say, "I'm only going to see a universe the way God, love, sees the universe. Why should I see the universe any different than the way God sees it, than the way love sees it? Why should I, therefore, judge people, repel people? Why shouldn't I have the same mentality as God has?" That's the attitude. And that acts as attracting the patient, the needing, the seeking thought. We go further, and we come to the next point, spirit. The true practitioner must be good and pure himself. So, after the first point of mind, to know perfection, we also must see that we substantiate that perfection within ourselves as much as possible, that the practitioner must have the substance of goodness within himself, must have a spiritual purity within himself. Here we read in the text that the Magdalene bathed Jesus' feet with her tears, and therefore with tears, and showed so her grief. Her contrition was sincere. Can you hear quality that is brought out in the Magdalene, like the baptism of repentance? She had tears, she repented. Can you hear the second beatitude? "Blessed are those that mourn, because they shall be comforted." Here we can see the Magdalene having that sense of the second beatitude. And so she showed her affection for a man of goodness and purity. She knew that Jesus was good and pure, or else she wouldn't have that affection for him. Therefore, nothing would have responded in her. And so now, seeing that he was good and pure, she really longed for that purity. And in order to be one with that purity, she could see that she herself had to mourn, that she herself had to separate herself from what was evil, and showed true repentance. Her reverence was unfeigned. She had an ineffable affection. She washed and anointed his feet. But why did Jesus forgive her? Could he discern the true affection? That's the point now. The marginal heading is Divine Insight. Jesus had that spiritual discernment which one can only have if one is good and pure oneself, because only purity within oneself can make a distinction between the material affection and the spiritual affection. That what the Pharisees could not discern, Jesus could discern. The Pharisees could not discern that the Magdalene had something else in her than the bad name she had in the public, that she had something spiritual within herself, a sincerity and a longing for the spiritual. And he could discern that, and we can only discern it when we have a certain standard of purity within ourselves. Then we can also discern the spirit, what goes on spiritually in a mortal, in a Magdalene. He could detect her moral uprising. He could detect it. And so it shows so nicely that we need that quality of spirit as a practitioner, so that we are not sidetracked by the outward, but that we can discern the spiritual inward attitude, how earnest, how pure the longing is in the patient. And so he declared the absolution of the penitent. That's a tone of love. Always we get the tone of love, the absolution, thy sins are forgiven thee. He could only do that because he could discern the spiritual quality in the Magdalene. Not because just she wanted to be healed, wanted to be saved. You come to a third attitude of the practitioner in soul. The true practitioner must be selfless himself. Mrs. Eddy speaks here about seeking truth for truth's sake, like the Magdalene, not for personal homage, because it said, if they love you for personal homage, like the rabbis did, they have little love. But in the Magdalene, he could perceive that she was looking away from earth to heaven. Can you see the passage from sense to soul? And was rising above physical thought-taking. There was all that unselfish affection that was shown there. And that demands, naturally, what you have in the marginal heading, genuine repentance, broken hearts, meekness. And you have the third beatitude, blessed are the meek, for there's the kingdom of earth. So you get that whole sense of meekness, of selflessness, of unselfish affection. Jesus could see that she loved more than the Pharisees, that she gave more to him than the Pharisees did, and so he could forgive her. See, here we have all the sense that Jesus regarded her with benign thought, because he would sympathetically know her moral uprising. And through that unselfish affection which he had, he could forgive her. So we can see here another quality was necessary for Jesus in order that the Magdalene would respond to it, that he himself had to have that unselfishness so that really the Magdalene would take that course from sense to soul, would do everything in order to know truth for truth's sake. We come to the fourth attitude. We have here the true practitioner must first win his own pardon scientifically. This is quite a big point. Mrs. Eddy starts out here and says, if the scientist reaches his patient through divine love, the healing work will be accomplished at one visit, and the disease will vanish into its native nothingness. So she first establishes the quality of love and love's healing. And then he says, but the practitioner must have a sense of that love. Namely, if he has enough Christly affection to win his own pardon. Can you see what he needs? Then he is Christian enough to practice scientifically. So she brings out here that great point that she says, yes, we really can forgive, but how we cannot forgive just by speaking words and say, well, I'm going to do the same as Jesus did. Jesus said, I forgive you, so I'm going to say the same thing. I am also going to say to the patient, thy sins are forgiven. He said, no, that's superficial. The practitioner must first, therefore, win his own pardon. And only if he wins his own pardon scientifically, he can heal, as she says, scientifically. Then he can activate the patient's spiritual power to resuscitate himself. Can you hear? She says, that which heals in the patient is actually the practitioner's own attitude, not just words that say, thy sins are forgiven thee. That doesn't change anything. That doesn't do a trick at all. But she says, if the practitioner has worked enough to find his own pardon, then there is in the practitioner spiritual power at work that will also work in the patient and act in the patient as a resuscitating power. Whereas she says that hypocrisy, stolidity, inhumanity and vice cannot heal. There must be, therefore, in the practitioner something very real, spiritually tangible, that can heal. And so the question always is, what does it mean when Missy says that we have to forgive, that we have to find our own pardon? How do we find our own pardon? Naturally, only so that we first see that we too are not the mortal, that we too are not the sinner, that we too cannot sin, that we too cannot become sick, that we too cannot die. Before we are not really seeing that we are free from all these errors, how can we help somebody else? There must first be established within us that very sense that man is the idea of perfection, love and mind. That love and mind says, well, man is always an idea of principle, and as an idea of principle, he has never fallen away. He is never a sinner, he is never sick, he can never die. Therefore, one sees that the practitioner first has to work along the line that he himself frees himself from the belief that he can be a mortal. And this is so beautiful. This is really what everyone should do, and everyone should really establish in his consciousness, and to say, can I forgive myself scientifically, not just humanly, not just with a gracious gesture? And I say, oh, well, Jesus was so magnanimous in his attitude that he just forgave everybody. So I'm going to imitate him, and I also say to everybody, I forgive you. Well, this is only words if one has not first forgiven oneself and has found first one's own pardon, scientifically. How could we do that?